Welcome. This is Allison Bailey, and I'll be your host today on this special edition of Practice Made Perfect. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues worldwide, we've decided to add additional podcast content focused on this emergency and what's important for our cardiovascular team to know now. I'm very excited to host representatives from across the college representing the cardiovascular care team today, as we know that COVID-19 is not only directly affecting our patients, but indirectly as well, as it affects the healthcare team in so many ways. I'd like to welcome Lisa Rosenbaum to the show. Dr. Rosenbaum is a cardiologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital, an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, and a national correspondent for the New England Journal of Medicine. Lisa practices in Boston, which, as you all know, has been one of the hardest hit cities in the U.S. for the COVID-19 pandemic. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'd also like to welcome Maggie Dish to the show. Maggie's a nurse who has clinical experience in the heart failure arena and now is involved as a member strategy expert at the college, who also leads member sections. Welcome to the show, Maggie.
Thank you so much, Allison. Grateful to be here virtually with you all.
Next, I'd like to welcome Rana Parikh. She's the inaugural Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the American College of Cardiology, as well as a consultant psychiatrist in Massachusetts General Hospital. Rana does many things at the ACC, and I'm so excited she's going to be on this podcast with us today. Welcome, Rana.
Thank you so much, Allison. I'm looking forward to this podcast.
Last, but certainly not least, is Dr. Gregory Piazza. Dr. Piazza is a cardiovascular medicine specialist at Brigham and Women's Hospital and an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. His practice focuses on the evaluation, management, and prevention of venous thromboembolism and stroke prevention in atrial fibrillation. Welcome, Greg.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So we have an all-star cast here today, and we're going to be talking about a variety of things. This topic is so important and large that the ACC has dedicated an entire COVID hub to share emerging information on the newest science in patient management, as well as legislation and reimbursement changes that have occurred as a result of this pandemic. Not surprisingly, this hub has been very popular since its inception and has attracted many members to the portal. Addition, there's a clinician well-being portal to help us sort through many of the topics we're going to discuss today. It really is great to have you all joining us to discuss your journey in medicine and life during the times of COVID. I thought we'd start by having you each tell us about your life pre-COVID in medicine and what that looked like. Greg, maybe you can start us off.
Yeah, sure. I think my life was very typical of someone that works at a university hospital. I spent a reasonable amount of time on the clinical services, consulting primarily, and then I have 2 half-day clinics a week. And I used to love seeing patients in person. And then the rest of my time was really spent on clinical trials and clinical epidemiology studies that we do in my group. I used to have a half an hour roughly commute each way where I'd listen to sports news or audiobooks or music. And life was very, you know, in the routine.
So basically the total opposite of what it is today, it sounds like.
So opposite.
Lisa, how about you? How were your days filled and how is now different from before?
So I practice at the same hospital as Greg, but I only do inpatient medicine. I do about 10 weeks a year between our consult service and the inpatient cardiology service. And then the rest of my time I spend at the New England Journal of Medicine. So I'm a national correspondent there and I participate to a certain extent in editorial meetings.
Okay, that's fascinating. Maggie, would you like to tell us about your clinical time as well as your current role at the college?
Sure. My story is definitely a little unique. My clinical work has always been in heart failure, LVAD, and heart transplant. I worked for about 8 years in the cardiac ICU at the Ross Heart Hospital, which is part of the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. During my time there, I practiced as a staff nurse and eventually became the clinical nurse leader of the heart failure program for several years. About 5 years ago, I was lucky enough to have an opportunity to come to ACC and manage our heart failure accreditation program for hospitals, where I was able to travel around both the U.S. and internationally, helping with heart failure process improvement and management of patients. Most recently, I've moved over to the member strategy team here at ACC and lead our clinical member sections and leadership councils and all the great work that they do, I do still dabble in heart failure education, and I stay very active within the heart failure clinical world with HFSA and AAHFN.
Okay, excellent. And then Rana, I know your role is new at the college, but sort of pre-COVID, what were you focusing on?
So I started with the American College of Cardiology in July of 2019, working predominantly on the strategic plan for diversity and inclusion. And since COVID, which seems like really it's been part of my job since I started ACC, we've gone full scale on looking to see how we can help our members with regards to mental health issues and staying connected to ACC, which is an important professional home. While a big part of my job is to talk about diversity and inclusion, I think there's been really an emphasis on inclusion, especially during this time of COVID-19. So I guess the biggest difference is really the emphasis on inclusion and making sure we all have a community.
Okay, I think that's great. And I agree with that. You know, I've never been prouder of our professional home, the American College of Cardiology, than I have during this pandemic and all the information that's been supplied. So thank you all for the introduction. Now let's fast forward to now, May 2020. COVID's clearly upon us, and there have been unimaginable changes in our lives, both professionally and personally, as you've all described. And this has affected all of us, both the healthcare team, as well as all of our patients and families. We've all adapted to these changes in different ways, depending on our jobs and what part of the country we live in. Lisa, I know you just wrote a great perspective in the New England Journal of Medicine, where you shared some of what you've been through as a frontline physician who's in a higher than average risk group for complications. For our listeners who may not have read that yet, could you share what that's been like for you?
Yes. So the essay is about my attempt to make a decision about whether or not I should do inpatient clinical work during the COVID pandemic. And I was slated to be on service for 2 weeks in April, but I have lupus and I'm on immunosuppressive therapy. And so it was about, on the surface, sort of trying to make this decision about whether or not that risk was acceptable to me. And it was more deeply about my relationship to my mother, who many of you know, Sandra Lewis, who's also a cardiologist, and really taught me the meaning of sacrifice. And so a lot of it was about, you know, what it means to be a hero and how the nature of heroism is perhaps more diverse than we think. And it's also about sort of the stories we tell ourselves about who we are and our place in the world. And I think that in the end, I made a decision not to do the clinical service. But I also, I think in the process of writing that essay, really thought a lot about sort of the collective identity crisis that the whole world is facing, as we ask everybody to sort of not be who they are in many ways, and how hard that is.
I think that was a perfect summary and something that many of us are dealing with. Obviously, there's lots of different facets of this, many things to be considered, but we frequently view ourselves as a member of the care team, and frequently that equates with how we view our strength, our worth as a physician and as a member of the team, a healthcare provider. And one of the things that we really have to focus on is staying resilient during this. Greg, I believe that you also had to modify your role in clinical medicine. How's that experience been?
Yeah, so it's really mirrored in some ways what everyone else has gone through. I'm still seeing roughly the same volume of outpatients, but it's done through virtual visits and telehealth visits. I spent some time on the consult service providing consultations for COVID-19 patients, but it's a different environment. You know, we used to complain about putting on gowns for MRSA and C. diff, but now we're really at a new level of personal protection to keep infection rates down. But it's just a different experience. And what's really changed for me is my research has changed completely. With the shutdown of many of the clinical trials that we were running, I was wondering what I was going to be doing besides the clinical work during this time. And lo and behold, there became an incredible amount of interest in clotting events in patients with COVID-19. And subsequent to that, I'm now knee deep in 3 different studies, possibly 4, looking at the epidemiology of cardiovascular complications in COVID-19 and ways that we can prevent arterial and thrombotic events in COVID-19. So my life in the research world's gotten, if anything, busier. And, you know, I'm grateful to have the work for sure, but it's just a different lifestyle.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely see that. It's definitely a big change for all of us. Maggie, you come from a totally different place. And as someone who's familiar with bedside care and being involved clinically, tell us what you've experienced during this time.
Yeah, whew, I have felt so many emotions over the last few months. When we were sent home from Heart House back in March, I don't think myself or any of us had realized what an impact this virus would have both on our lives and our work moving forward. Initially, I was actually extremely busy with my current role at ACC, producing content, getting guidance up on the COVID hub, and working really day and night with our members to get them the support that they needed. While this did feel good to be connecting and contributing, I really still felt like I needed to do more. When I left the bedside, it wasn't because I was unhappy. I truly loved working in the hospital, and I still miss it at times. But working at ACC has always been extremely fulfilling, and it's a place where I feel like I can truly have a global impact on patients' lives. But with that being said, talking with our members, colleagues, and my many close friends on the front lines every day, in addition to the many calls for help that were coming from areas like New York, it really deeply affected me. And at my core, my identity is a nurse, and I feel compelled to help when someone is in need. And I just kept thinking I should be there. And I actually tried to go back to the bedside and help for a few weeks. I went out and got my BLS. I signed up for the DC Medical Reserves and even applied to the New York Health Department website. But it ended up that they didn't need me, which was, of course, a great thing. My work throughout this whole time with ACC has been extremely helpful. It's kept me very busy, and it provides that sense of involvement in the fight against COVID.
I think you all represent a very wide spectrum of what many of us in healthcare are feeling. How do I help? What can I do to put my skills to use during this time? Obviously, not everyone who's on the front lines of and has even seen a COVID patient. There's such diversity in how this pandemic has affected our country. Greg, do you have words or advice or have found things that have worked for you during this time?
Yeah, I think that being flexible and being willing to abandon your routine is really one of the best ways to deal with the cognitive dissonance that you're doing something different than you expected to be doing this time of year. I mean, we're all experiencing that in our personal lives. You know, we expect to be outdoors more. We expect to be congregating and celebrating graduations. We don't really get to do that now. On the medicine side of things, this is a period of time where we'd be going to conferences, ACC, and we haven't been able to do that. And so you have to be able to let go. And that's what I worked on early on, was recognizing just life was going to be different. My professional life was going to be different. Actually, something that really helped me was starting to think about what's needed for my community to deal with this pandemic. I think my whole research group asked themselves that question, and we said, let's try to get a better handle on these cardiovascular complications that we're hearing about, but that we don't have great data for coming from Europe and Asia. And let's see if we can push forward the mission of, you know, all of us in cardiovascular medicine to pave the way and make it safer for patients who are infected with COVID-19. And so focusing on that and doing something a little different, some clinical epidemiology and some trials on prevention, has filled my time in and make me feel like I'm contributing. I spend a little bit of time on the front lines, but not as much as some of my colleagues. And this helps me feel, I think what Maggie said really resonated with me, that you know, you feel like you need to be there. You feel like, you know, you're seeing other people on the front lines. You need to be there. And this is my way of being there, I think.
Wonderful. And what an important role looking at some of these thrombotic complications. Maggie, what's worked for you?
Yeah, much like Greg, it took me some time to come to this, but I did finally accept that, you know, I'm doing a lot to contribute, and that just because I'm not on the front line treating patients, I'm helping out in my own way, and I'm helping to support the people who are on the front line. I've also done my best to be a beacon of valid information for my friends and my family who are not healthcare workers. being that I'm the only healthcare worker in my family and really amongst most of my close friends, I'm always the go-to for answering questions, as well as being that bossy older sister and daughter. Using social media platforms and providing accurate guidance that has been helpful to a lot of the people that are close to me. Additionally, I've looked for volunteer opportunities in my neighborhood, in my community. I am absolutely no good at sewing a mask, but more than happy to help deliver groceries.
I think that's really important. There's so much misinformation, and sometimes we forget about that, but just sharing correct and valid information is really important. And, you know, the ACC has done a great job with that too, both for physicians as well as CardioSmarter, our patient-centric website, with some infographics and some of those things. Lisa, how about you? Any words of wisdom for the listeners?
Well, I think that we're all seeking a purpose right now. And for many of us, that's really motivating and we're able to get a lot done. But I think for people who are feeling, again, sidelined in any way, it can actually be really hard. And so I think part of my words of wisdom is just to realize that, you know, there are just so many ways to help. And even if that means calling somebody you love once a week or a couple times a week who you haven't spoken to in 10 years, I've found it's like a really great time to have a meaningful conversation, not just like a catch up, this is what I'm doing, but sort of a, what do you think just happened to the world? Let's talk about it kind of conversation. And I just think that there is probably some element of learning how to forgive yourself if you can't, you know, be doing exactly what you were doing before this happened. And, you know, if that means that you're able to relax and binge watch a TV show or read a novel or whatever it is, I think that's important too. And to just be okay with that for now.
Again, very important words. I know most of us have more free time than we've ever had, but we're not being totally productive because our minds are preoccupied with a lot of the other things that are going on. Rana, what can you share with us?
Thank you so much, Allison. And what a treat to listen to Greg and Maggie and Lisa and their comments, and particularly their words of wisdom. And I think I'm going to piggyback on some of their comments. So first, from a professional perspective, I think Greg hit this really well by saying that it's a time period where we need to abandon our routine, to remember this is a change that many of us did not expect, but to remember that as healthcare providers, we are probably a lot more cognitively and emotionally flexible than we realize. We know this because every patient that we have seen is different from the patient before. And we always realize that when the patient's in the room, we have to take some basic concepts, but also apply it to the individual needs. And so we have that capacity, and to remember that we'll get through this, but it's important to know that this is change and this is a crisis. And so with that, there's going to be a sense of loss. And it's really important in these time periods to leverage our communities from a professional perspective, whether it be the American College of Cardiology and or other medical societies or groups. It's really important to leverage those people that are important to us. Most of us, if not all of us, are part of a cardiovascular team. So remember that these are people who are there to help you as well. And I'm sure you've been supportive of them, but to really leverage your communities. Somebody said earlier, if you haven't talked to somebody in a long time, this might be a time to really kind of connect, and for you as well to reach out to other people. But building our communities and leaning in on our communities is really important during this time period. From a personal perspective, I will say that I think most of us as healthcare providers entered the field for similar reasons, a sense of wanting to care for other people. Having said that, we're not all walking into COVID-19 in this era with the same conditions and circumstances. I remember when the Heart House closed on March 8th, some people were just coming back from vacation. So we can argue that they walked into COVID era refreshed, while some of us were coming in because we had losses in our life. And for some of us, we've had other traumas or other experiences that make this more difficult or more manageable. And I think staying true to who you are is really very important. And monitoring yourself or monitoring your friends and your neighbors is really critical. This may sound funny when I say this, but don't forget to eat. Don't forget to sleep. Don't forget to exercise and to laugh and to watch your favorite sitcoms and to build upon your coping skills. This is a time when I think we need to expand our coping skills and to be really careful about being compassionate, particularly towards ourselves. I think Lisa said that not only in her perspective, but she ended by saying, you know, be good to yourself and forgive yourself, because that's really, really critical. I would also just end by saying that as healthcare providers, we always tell our patients to reach out for help. And yes, we know that as healthcare providers, we are some of the worst patients. Let me remind you that this is a time to show courage by asking for help, not only when you know you need it, but especially when you're not sure if you need it. I think it's really critical. And thank you again, Allison, for letting me be part of this. It's been so incredible to hear Greg's story, Maggie's, Lisa, and to have your expert facilitation.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. That was really wonderful and useful information that will certainly transcend this current crisis. I'd like to ask our guests for any final thoughts before we close. I think I agree with Rhonda. I've really enjoyed listening to everyone's process through this, and it's been extremely helpful. Maggie, do you have any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, thank you. I would just like to thank you, Allison, and the entire group for inviting me to share my thoughts and feelings during this absolutely crazy time in all of our lives. It's really helpful to hear from all of you and hear your perspectives. I'm so grateful to be included in this conversation. I also want to send my deepest appreciation to all of our members, my colleagues, and my friends out there on the front line doing such amazing work. My thoughts are with you every day and sending you so much strength as we fight this.
Wonderful. Greg, last thoughts.
Yeah, I would just echo what was said about recognizing when you need help and also keeping your eyes out for your colleagues. We're all in this together. And if you see a colleague struggling, it could be with anything. It could be with, you know, having to quarantine away from their family for an extended period of time or dealing with the stress of losing a patient. You know, make sure that they know you're there for them too. We're oftentimes the best at taking care of each other as well, because we know what we're all going through.
Very good advice. Lisa?
Yeah, so in addition to what everybody else has said, I think just based on talking to colleagues and looking at Twitter and actually hearing from people I've cared for in the past, it's actually a rare moment of connection. It's very real. Everybody's worried about one another. And I think there's a lot to celebrate in that connection and moment. And so when you are feeling alone or like this is never going to end or you're not who you are anymore, I think it is a unique opportunity to sort of take advantage of the sincerity of those relationships and think about the opportunity to sort of build on those as we move forward.
Okay, great. And then Rhonda, I'll give you the final comment.
Thank you, Allison. Again, I want to just thank all of my colleagues on this podcast, and I will echo what Maggie said. ACC, the American College of Cardiology, is here for you at any time if there's anything we can do for you. And just remember, this too shall pass.
Great last words. Thank you all so much for sharing your stories on the podcast today. It helped me a lot, and I'm sure it helped a lot of our listeners out there as well. I'll remind our listeners that the ACC has the COVID hub if there's information that you need. This is Allison Bailey, and thank you for joining us on Practice Made Perfect.